Hi everyone, you're here with Awaken Your Higher Mind with Alexander DeVoe, and today we'll be talking about core energy. Some people refer to it as chi or life force, and this is really the energy that permeates all of life and ourselves and how we interact with the world. But it's a very subtle form of energy that most people are not aware of. If you've kind of delved into the fields of energy dynamics or energy work or Reiki and so forth, you're probably familiar with what I'm talking about. For those of you that don't know much about these concepts, energy is basically a force that we can use for hands-on healing. You know, many people use techniques like Reiki, like quantum touch, to heal using their hands by transferring the energy from the higher source through their body and into someone else. We can also use energy to achieve deeper meditation, to achieve astral projection and lucid dreaming, like we discussed a couple of weeks back, and all sorts of things to do with the metaphysical and the paranormal, so to speak. And I'll just mention briefly, next Saturday, I'm going to be interviewing quite a well-known author called Robert Bruce, who has written books about energy dynamics and astral projection. And his approach is really interesting because, unlike many other authors in the field, he actually believes that energy is a vital part of our spirituality and the two are intrinsically linked. And he goes on to state that, you know, you can't develop yourself spiritually without having an understanding of the energy body and the energy systems. And many of those energy systems are, you know, the chakras and the different types of channels which we can manipulate energy for our bodies. And so that will be next Saturday. But today I'll just introduce the topic and share some of my experiences with core energy and how you can kind of begin to get a grasp of what it feels like and how you can use it without necessarily going off and taking, you know, a few months of course on energy dynamics. Because that's the great thing about it, is that there's no qualification or particular training that entitles someone to use energy. Anyone can pretty much tap into that life force quite intuitively and just begin working with it and do some quite amazing stuff. However, if you are looking for a formal training, a good one is quantum touch. It's a good approach to energy dynamics that isn't you know, overly long or complicated. And I've actually begun running online classes via Skype on energy dynamics, where I'll actually be illustrating how to use energy specifically for the purpose of meditation, astral travel, and charging the chakras and so forth. And you can find those courses on my website at alexdefoe.com. So what is chi or energy? Essentially, this translates to life force flow, or in a very simple way of looking at it, simply breathing. You know, when you breathe in and out, this is really the energy that you're using to fuel your body, to fuel your mind. And when we use breathing in the right way, when you can channel your breathing into your, like up through your nostrils, into your brain, for example, or down into your abdomen, you can actually manipulate type of energy that you're bringing into your body. And you can use this, you know, for example, bringing more energy into your mind to create, you know, sharper visualizations, or bringing more energy into your abdomen can actually have a very relaxing and calming effect and a very grounding effect. And this relates very much so to some of the concepts we've been discussing over the last few weeks in terms of meditation and astral consciousness and so forth, and lucid dreaming. And how this relates is that if we think about the physical body on the planet that we're living on at the moment, it's only one form of experiencing consciousness. Therefore, if you think about, for example, the astral body on the astral plane, which would be the level above our world, this would be an energy-based way of experiencing reality. Therefore, by becoming more in tune with energy, some people find that they're able to perceive beyond the physical reality. And this might be, you know, something like seeing a ghost or seeing an aura around someone. Usually when you begin developing your own energy awareness, you can have, you know, quite profound experiences along those lines. And I found a lot of those experiences, they don't tend to go against kind of your own nature. So it's fairly rare for you to kind of have certain experiences that are going to be uncomfortable for you. Someone who would prefer not to see, you know, into those realms might find themselves having a more developed intuition, for example. You may find yourself knowing, you know, something's going to happen before it happens, or being able to see in your mind's eye the outcome of certain situations before, you know, taking those risks. So there are many manifestations of energy, and these all relate to the incredible infinite potential of the astral planes, you know, which is not limited by time or space. And you can bring those insights and that esoteric knowledge into this reality through those energy channels. And once again, you know, this comes back to the chakras, but I won't go too much into the chakras because there is a lot of confusion and inaccurate information out there. And, you know, if you Google chakras, for example, you'll find that there are 7 major chakras and each one corresponds to a certain psychological, psycho-spiritual state. For example, the heart chakra is said to you know, correspond to love or emotion. And by working on this energy, you're able to strengthen your, you know, emotional connections to others and so forth. And I think this is all loosely, you know, it has some truth to it, but these very definitive descriptions of the chakras of energy that you'll find on websites are not necessarily accurate. For example, you know, I've found in my experience working with the heart chakra, which is, you know, practically where your chest is, it's not so much emotional energy you're working with, but more of a kind of genuine, sincere love that comes from the heart. And not just like a human love, but more like an all-encompassing love that comes from a deeper understanding of the interconnectedness of all things and of the universe and so forth. So it's not really emotional energy. In my experience, emotional energy comes from the lower chakras. So you'll find a lot of conflicting information. And I found the most important thing is really to experiment yourself with this energy and find what is true for you. Because in the end, it doesn't really matter what someone else has written, you know, which chakra, which type of energy corresponds to what. It's really about what you get out of it. So it is, you know, it is roughly true that there are, you know, around 7 chakras, and these chakras are energy points in your body where you'll be able to sense energy more thoroughly than, say, you know, in other areas of your body. So if you bring all your attention to your heart, for example, or bring all your attention to your forehead, in between your eyes, this is where it is said to be the third eye chakra. These energy points, you'll find you're able to experience the energy there and activate it much more easily than, say, you know, in your leg, for example. And, you know, even if you Google chakras, you'll find, you know, heaps of diagrams that show these energy points along your body. And by focusing there, you find different qualities, different types of energy, and different experiences. And another important point to make here is that all of the chakras are connected. And by focusing on one very intensely and, you know, committing yourself to work with chi or work of energy quite intensely, you'll find that the others begin to wake up, so to speak. And when a chakra wakes up, it begins to unfold and your energy awareness begins to develop. there can be said to be a central channel that runs along your back that connects all of the chakras. And some believe it's the aim to work with energy in a way that you're able to go from the first chakra to the seventh one above your head, and in the process activate each one. And you'll find that many people discuss this as being a process of becoming enlightened or becoming awakened. And it comes down to, you know, how you define enlightenment or awakening. However, it is a very kind of interesting and quite pleasurable experience to have to awaken, you know, all of the chakras in order. And this is, you know, where other elements such as the aura or energy field that exists around each one of us comes in. Because when your entire body is kind of awakening in terms of energy, you usually tend to find that you can even sense kind of the energy field or the aura around you. And, you know, this is what people that can see auras naturally talk about, kind of various colors and circle around people that reflects their, you know, both their spiritual state and their current emotional state. So someone that's very angry might have, you know, shades of red in their aura, for example. And then there's the deeper layers that reflect their natural state of being that don't change as transiently as emotional states. And what I found, you know, from this realization is that you can have such a major effect on your energy awareness and on your energy body just through, you know, what you're thinking or what you're feeling. It can have a really massive effect. You might be thinking to yourself, you know, oh, I'm feeling a bit angry at the moment, but that's all right. It's just, you know, I'll keep it to myself. But in reality, you're broadcasting those emotions, and people that are quite sensitive can pick up on that from you, you know, without needing to ask how you're feeling. And at an unconscious level, it really affects everyone, you know, how we feel and what we think. People who have developed a very subtle acuity to energy can actually pick up on what certain people are thinking. Because when you think about, you know, thoughts and emotions, these are just expressions of energy. And by, you know, developing your own perception of energy, you'll be able to pick these things up around others quite easily. So how do you go about, you know, getting a grasp on chi to start off with? This is, you know, one of the topics that a lot of teachers and a lot of people who are involved with chi really struggle sometimes teaching people. Because once you kind of know how to work with energy, it's so intuitive and so easy and so natural that, you know, anyone can do it. But to actually start to take that first step can be quite daunting, because we've been conditioned, you know, for the last even few decades, possibly, depending on, you know, how old you are, to kind of live a life that's disconnected from spirituality and from energy. And then to take that first step, it seems quite daunting. So, you know, unless you've had training earlier on in Reiki or Qigong or quantum touch or another energy modality, it can take, you know, some time. For some people, it takes, you know, even a year of constantly meditating and doing energy awareness. Most of the people I've worked with have picked it up pretty quickly. But, you know, it all depends on how willing you are to open your mind to what's possible. Because even those people who work with energy sometimes have their own limiting beliefs too. And they therefore are only able to achieve so much. But someone who's totally closed off from the possibility of energy, obviously, you know, it's going to be really hard for them to experience its awareness, to experience what it's like to work with energy. So one of the techniques I'll introduce is working with breathing. And by working with breathing, you can begin to, you know, feel, you know, certain sensations throughout your body. And as you continue doing these types of meditations, you begin to notice that those sensations can deepen. And you feel at certain points textures and expressions of energy. So what does energy or chi feel like? Sometimes you can get a sense of warmth, for example, resonating from your heart or from your hands, or even cold, or a tingling sensation, or a bit of a pressure. Some people experience a bit of a pressure on their forehead. And how do you tell, that these are not psychosomatic or physiological experiences? Well, usually I find that when you're doing a meditation or doing a breathing practice and you're finding you're getting, kind of tingles or chills like up and down your spine or kind of an expansive type of pressure on your forehead, and you find yourself wondering, is this just physiological? Well, first of all, if you haven't had something like that before, then the chances are that it's not physiological. And the other way you can tell is by simply stopping the meditation practice, and you'll find that those sensations go away. But, once you've done it a few times and you're pretty sure about the difference between physiological symptoms and energy symptoms, then you can kind of tell the difference. And rather than questioning it, it becomes more intuitive to stay in that experience and see where it leads you. Because sometimes you can have, some pretty interesting experiences by just allowing yourself to focus fully on the energy. So to practice this breathing technique, we'll follow on from one that we did a few weeks back. And just take notice of your breathing. You can do this, any time throughout the day, but it's most effective when you practice at a particular time, when you actually, sit down and say, I'm going to practice this for 2 minutes or 5 minutes. And just breathe in through your nose and actually follow the breath as it goes, through your nose and down into your chest and down into your abdomen. And you're actually following the breath. It's like you're tracing it and your awareness is going with it. And the key is, to practice this for, 5 or so minutes every day. And eventually you begin to find that as you follow your breathing down into your abdomen and just really concentrate intensely there, that you'll begin to, pick up on sensations and, you'll begin to notice stuff that you probably weren't aware of before. Some people simply describe this as tension, that they're kind of released and become more relaxed. My theory is that a lot of stress and tension is actually, energy that's become frozen in our bodies. And by bringing awareness to that, we kind of melt it away and it begins flowing more smoothly again. A lot of people won't accept the concept of energy and prefer to see it as kind of relaxation. But once you get into the deeper stages of, practicing this breathing exercise, you can really notice a distinct difference between simply relaxing your body and, perhaps feeling some nice sensations and actual energy-based experiences. So after practicing this technique, you can then move on to more advanced techniques like drawing that breath, drawing that energy to different areas of your body. So for example, breathe in through your nose, but this time really focus on the energy kind of traveling right up through your nose, right up to your forehead, and kind of right into that point between your eyes, and then, back into your abdomen as normal. And by doing this, you're actually working towards activating your third eye or, sixth major chakra. In my personal experience, this is actually probably the easiest one of all the major chakras to work with. That may be, simply because I'm more predisposed kind of to that chakra. Some people are more predisposed to a particular chakra, like the heart, for example. If they're very naturally empathic and compassionate people, they find it much easier to connect, while others who are very creative and kind of intuitive, people tend to find it much easier to work with the third eye chakra. So And also another benefit of this I found is that since the third eye chakra and the crown, which is the last one, are so connected closely, that as you begin working with this technique more and more, you actually tend to trigger off, you know, the crown chakra too, because the energy begins expanding more and more from your third eye, and it indirectly activates, you know, the higher chakra. And this is where a lot of, you know, mystical experiences and, you know, spiritual bliss, so to speak, comes from, the last of the chakras. Because some have written that this, you know, the connection to source or connection to God or higher consciousness, and it kind of, when you activate the chakra, it kind of feels like a bit of a crown on your head, and you then begin to draw energy from the higher source in, down into your body through the crown. But, you know, this is not something that is necessarily that you have to learn or be taught. You know, I simply stumbled upon this when working with the third eye chakra. And as some of you know, most of the work I've done has been just really intuitive, and I've kind of practiced on my own and experimented with stuff and not had, you know, too much formal instruction about the process. And, you know, as I say, I believe that formal instruction and reading too much about this and expecting certain experiences is never a good thing. It's, you know, best to just be open, and you'll intuitively know, you know, what's going on or what's happening for you personally. So, you know, by practicing this technique of breathing, you're sending energy down into your lower chakras, which has a grounding, relaxing, and calming effect on your body. And in the second one, where we focus the energy in the middle of the forehead, you're sending the energy upwards into your higher chakras, and this has an invigorating, creativity-stimulating, and intuition-stimulating effect. And, you know, some people, when they start off, they don't find they get any sensations. For example, they might focus on that area between their eyes and, you know, focus on the breath going up. And they don't feel anything at all. And then, you know, an hour later, they might have, you know, a lot more intuition, a lot more creativity. And they suddenly sit down and draw something, or get inspired to write something, and might think, you know, where did that come from? Might think nothing of it, but when you trace back to that previous practice, it did actually have an effect. And it's just in the sense that it does take time to awaken energy. That's the only real obstacle to feeling it, but even doing the practices still has an effect, even if you don't feel chi or energy. You know, even if you read about energy healing and hands-on healing, even placing your hands on someone's body, even if you don't feel the energy, you know, sometimes that still has a healing effect, and often it does. But focusing and actually developing your awareness of the chi or energy really does strengthen that effect and the outcomes that you experience. So another technique that you can practice is actually focusing on, you know, what it feels like in the lower chakras. So when you focus on breathing in, down into your abdomen, just try to hold that feeling there, whatever it might be, you know, that awareness of your abdomen. And then, if you like, you can actually begin to visualize, you know, this chakra along your back, and visualize the energy flowing up along your spine to the next one. And it's good, you know, to have a diagram at first when you're practicing this, that you can find, you know, online. And visualize the next chakra, and then just take notice of what that feels like. And continue doing this, you know, up for all of the seven chakras. And I find that this approach is also effective because visualization can just as easily bring attention and awareness to your body as breathing. You know, they're both great techniques, but some people find one better than the other. And now all you need to do to work with energy or chi is awareness. Because, you know, if you're not aware of something, it kind of lays dormant. You may have seen, you know, a movie called The Matrix, where the protagonist in that movie, Neo, he kind of wakes up in the real world and has to get all of his, nerves and muscles reactivated by these acupuncture needles because he has never really used them before. He doesn't know what it feels like to walk or to do anything. This is, you know, exactly the same as what happens with energy. We've just never used it before. So, if I tell you, just focus on your hand for a moment. What does your hand feel like right now? You suddenly begin, you know, to concentrate consciously and unconsciously on your hand and become more aware of it. So, you know, when I say, you know, use your breathing to go to this area or use visualization to go to this area, it's the same principle. You bring it awareness, and the more awareness you bring, the more this energy begins to activate. So you find as you become more in tune with energy in yourself and other people, is that you can in fact intuitively feel the energy around others. And you know, using your own intuition and energy awareness, it becomes much easier to sense what someone's true intentions might be, or whether someone has negative intentions towards you or positive intentions. You know, this is a technique that I was taught in pranic healing at one point. You know, put your hand up to a person and kind of feel what energy is resonating from them, you know, before you consider friendship or to connect more with that person. And, you know, I found that that's pretty invasive. You're not going to walk up to someone that you've just met and say, can I put my hand up to you for a moment? But certainly as you become more aware of your own energy and other people's energy, you don't need to do that. You know, you can sense that from, you know, just standing and talking with them without necessarily putting your hand like right up to their body. But, you know, if you do have someone that you can work with, like one-on-one, this is a good technique to practice. If you actually get them to, you know, kind of let you put your hand like right up to their body, maybe about an inch or, you know, 2 centimeters away, 2 or 3 centimeters, just hold it there for a moment. You know, as you practice the techniques I've kind of described here, you'll notice more and more that there's kind of like a resistance or a pressure resonating from their body onto your hand. And, you know, as you begin kind of pulling your hand away, this energy or this pressure begins to fade. And over time, you'll be able to pull it away further and further and still kind of, you know, feel the energy resonating from this person. And the energy, you know, it takes on different qualities, and you can learn a lot just from doing this technique. And but I recommend personally, you know, practicing it with someone you know and someone who's willing to do it with you, and then, you know, maybe you can switch turns and they can practice on you too, just to get that awareness that resonates from someone else. Or, you know, you can even practice with yourself by putting both of your hands together with just about, you know, maybe half an inch or a centimeter of space between them. And after maybe, you know, 10 or 20 seconds or so, you'll feel that resistance, or that you might feel a bit of warmth or, you know, tingling sensation, or kind of like that energy there in between your hands. And, you know, the aim of this is to just, once again, move your hands back very slowly until you can maintain that energy there. And as you move your hands back, begin to find that it forms a bit of like an energy ball in between your hands. It's almost like you're holding a snowball, but kind of this energy circulating and resonating in your hands. And, you know, we'll do another show on this where we'll go into more advanced stuff like how you can infuse energy with different qualities and so forth. But for now, you know, this is a good technique to practice just to get a sense of what general energy or what chi feels like in general. And what we find is that when we, you know, become more aware of this is that other people's energy becomes more apparent, as I was saying, and we also begin to notice the energy exchanges or energy contracts that we form with others. For example, if someone makes us feel quite positive, someone that you know, if they make you feel quite good or inspire you, then it's most likely that you've got a positive energy connection with that person, and you grow and, you know, expand your energy by being in their presence. Whereas on the other hand, if you're finding yourself quite drained or feeling quite negative after speaking with someone, and this happens all the time over and over, you find it's like a pattern, then that person could well be having a draining effect on you. And what you begin to notice with energy dynamics is that you can feel this connection in the form of kind of like energy from your body to their body resonating at a certain level. And people who drain you and make you feel, you know, quite angry and negative, you'll find that that experience is a lot like, you know, kind of the energy coming out of your body and into their body. They're like literally draining the energy from you. And a lot of us, you know, we put up with those kind of associations and friendships and so forth because we don't really realize the energy implications that they have on us. And you know, they're causing this major disturbance on an energy body level. And then we experience that as, you know, feeling down or feeling upset on a surface level. So what I found is really profound with energy dynamics is that you can, you know, experience more like of a positive and higher connection to your inner self rather than falling back on those negative states that you, you know, sometimes you don't even know where that came from. And a lot of the time, you know, that can be just disassociating yourself from certain people once you realize what's going on the energy level. At other times, it's simply a matter of recognizing where the energy in your body is becoming drained from and, you know, shutting that off. If it's someone is like connecting to your energy and draining it from you, you can simply sever that connection. Once again, you know, first of all, it might seem easy by using a visualization. For example, visualize your hand kind of passing through and simply cutting that connection, and it falls away. Once you get used to that visualization, once again, it's something you'll be able to do intuitively and simply just ensure that no negative energy drains are present, you know, around you. And that you're only attracting, you know, or building the energy that you actually want to be experiencing. So this is, you know, what you find by you know, practicing conscious breathing and visualization around your energy body more and more. And, you know, there's a lot of theory, once again, that goes into this idea that we attract, you know, the people that are on the same energy wavelength and so, and you can really read in a lot into this, but it's once again a matter of not getting too carried away in the theory. You know, certainly you may be kind of attracting certain people and certain experiences into your life based on your energy resonance at the moment. But all the implications of that are is that you can consciously change your energy state right now and learn to work with energy right now. And just by changing that state, you can then also change, you know, how you react to how you experience the world, essentially. So, you know, whenever I read like a really long, like windy theory about chakras or energy, I tend to ask myself at the end of that book or article or whatever it might be, you know, how can I use this? You know, what can I do now practically to apply this theory? It's very easy to get lost in theory about spirituality and energy and astral projection. You know, if you wanted to, you could literally spend a year just reading about these things. But by asking that simple question at the end, you know, what can I do now, on a practical level, you can actually take that and apply that in your own life rather than ruminating about the theory and the possible implications of the theory. So, you know, in terms of social connections and relationships with other people, what we find is that you can create energy connections also. You don't necessarily just have to observe what type of energy you're broadcasting, what type of energy other people are broadcasting towards you. What you'll find in techniques like yoga and tantra is that by matching the breathing of another person, you can become more in union and more in flow with that person on an energy level. And this can be practiced with anyone pretty much. When you observe, you know, their pace of breathing and then kind of start breathing in and out at the same pace as them, then you begin to kind of align your energies. And it's a matter of doing this consciously, because you don't necessarily want to create an energy connection unconsciously with someone that you don't know too much about. You know, these techniques are mostly described in the context of, you know, someone, if you're already in a relationship with your partner that you trust and know. When you're practicing this technique with other people, however, it's a good idea to actually be conscious of the process and ensure that you can then you know, change that connection you have with them later on. So I suppose, you know, when you're practicing conscious breathing, a good idea is to, you know, if you can, visualize the energy as well. And if you can't, if you find visualization difficult, simply focus on all of the sensations that you get from focusing your breathing in that one spot. The only benefit, you know, that visualizing has, I found, is that it can actually really help concentrate your energy and really expand the quality of it. So, you know, it's not necessary, but in the beginning stages, it can be a helpful aid to kind of get a grasp of, I suppose, you know, what's possible with energy dynamics. And this visualization can simply involve, you know, kind of giving a shape or giving a color to what you're feeling in your body. For example, if you're practicing the breathing technique and breathing down into your abdomen, what does that feel like? What would that be if that was a color? What would kind of that feel like or look like? And simply by asking these questions, sometimes a visual will come up in your own mind without you necessarily consciously having to visualize it, and other times you'll be able to visualize. I found in general, you know, in these practices, visualization can come in handy in the future, especially when you're working with more advanced energy. But I've also found that teaching visualization is fairly easy, whereas a lot of teachers and instructors believe that getting someone to really vividly visualize something, you know, as clearly as you can see, you know, wherever you are now, if you look around as clearly as you can see everything there, if you close your eyes and visualize it as clearly, Some people believe that that's, you know, really hard to do, whereas I've found it's actually pretty easy to show people the techniques to visualize more effectively, because we all have, you know, those abilities. And a lot of that actually does come from working with the chakras. For example, I found the third eye chakra, as I was talking about earlier, is a great way to learn visualization. So, you know, what I've certainly encountered is teaching people this technique of breathing upwards into the higher chakras, is if they've got their eyes closed, sometimes they will actually see certain colors or certain pictures in their mind that are quite vivid, you know, much more vivid than a daydream, for example. A common color is, you know, just seeing purple when you focus on that area. And this is where a lot of the theory about chakras comes from, is that certain people find that focusing on a chakra and then closing their eyes, they begin to see certain colors, and they associate it then with that chakra. And with the third eye, it happens to be indigo or purple. So we begin to find that when we visualize and experience certain energy, is that it has different qualities. Now, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, in that certain people can have a draining or uplifting effect. You know, that energy, it has a different quality, depending on what the intention behind it is. And what we can begin also doing, apart from just severing connections that are negative, is also doing a process called transmutation, which is quite a lot to do with transferring one form of energy into another form of energy. So for example, a negative kind of state of energy, taking that and transforming it into a more positive state. And this is where concepts such as hands-on healing and Reiki and so forth come in, because you can, you know, place your hands over someone's body and then get a feel for what type of energy is present there at the moment, and then kind of channel energy through your own body to change the state, or to raise the energy, or to do all sorts of things. With energy dynamics in general, I kind of just recommend people to experiment. But if you're thinking about applying this in hands-on healing, or actually experimenting with practicing hands-on healing, this is something that I would actually recommend getting some training for before just experimenting with, because it is really important to learn how to transfer energy from outside of yourself, like from a higher source of healing, rather than using your own energy that comes from within your own aura. Because using your own energy, you'll find yourself getting drained very quickly. And it's therefore important, you know, to learn about how to access energy from different locations. For example, how to draw it down from your head into your body through the crown chakra, or how to draw it up through your feet. And these techniques make you much less vulnerable to losing your own energy. So one technique that I would recommend is quantum touch, as I mentioned, learning how to use energy for healing in particular. Much of, you know, what I discuss in my online class at my website is more to do with using energy for, you know, creating energy balls, for example, in visualization, learning how to raise your energy to activate certain chakras and so forth. I don't actually go into hands-on healing, because this is an area that is really well established. There are a lot of trainers. You can even find, you know, a technique that Robert Bruce, who will be appearing next week, has written about hands-on healing, called Healing with the Heart, I believe, where he also talks about a technique for ensuring that the energy is coming through your heart from a higher source, rather than, you know, simply from yourself. And, you know, there are a lot of trainers. The reason that I focus more on other areas, like in this program and in classes, is that I found that there's a real lack of, you know, education and knowledge out there about the other applications of energy as opposed to just healing, because there are, you know, so many, like connecting to our creative selves and, you know, expanding our consciousness to awaken spiritually, essentially. And this goes, you know, way into more depth than hands-on healing techniques. What you will find is that there are a lot of different philosophies and theories with energy. And I've talked about pretty much, you know, just the practical side of things here. But you will find even in techniques like yoga and pranic healing and Reiki, that they all have their own philosophies and ideas about energy and healing and how it works. And it's important to also, you know, with these trainings and with these techniques, to question for yourself whether it's going to be useful for you and how you can use it, rather than simply subscribing to a certain belief about energy and how it works. Because energy is, you know, really expansive and really free-flowing. It doesn't follow, you know, people's ideas about it. You know, it follows, you know, whatever it wants to, essentially. So there's no need to limit your understanding of energy or conception of energy to fit in with, you know, a certain belief that might be comfortable. I actually find, you know, it's easier to really open yourself up to that and just allow yourself to experience whatever comes up. But the reason I recommend, you know, these formal trainings for hands-on healing is that because when you're dealing with another person and actually working with them in a healing context, you need not only to ensure that you're not, you know, becoming drained with using your own energy, but you also need to ensure that you don't open yourself up to you know, negative energy that can, you know, come in from somewhere else. And a lot of these trainings, they'll teach a technique to ensure that you actually clear all of the energy out of the room that could be potentially dangerous when you open yourself up. But apart from that, you know, practicing conscious breathing and visualization to charge up the chakras, so to speak, has, in my experience, been, you know, very safe practice that anyone can do to learn how to work with chi. And it's very intuitive. You know, if you find that something is uncomfortable or not working, you know, then just, you know, stop. And if you find that a certain experience is kind of, you know, really immersing you and you really want to stick with it, then stick with it. You know, kind of just ask yourself, you know, what's happening here, and get a feel for it intuitively, and then just follow where that goes. A lot of the problems that people have with developing the energy body and energy dynamics is that they let their mind, you know, get in the way. They start conceptualizing it and theorizing about it, writing articles about it, and so forth. You know, this is one of the reasons that I'm inviting Robert Bruce onto the show next week, is because his approach has always been very experiential. From his very first book, Astral Dynamics, and future books, you know, about energy, he always talks about the practical applications of energy and how he has used it, you know, how you can apply it. And there's, you know, a real wealth of knowledge there, but knowledge that comes from practical experience rather than, you know, someone sitting down and writing a 400-page book just about what they think energy is. And that's, you know, what you'll find in a lot of New Age shops, for example. It's, you know, shelves and shelves of books theorizing about energy. You know, for you to actually read just one book and at the end of it be able to do all sorts of things with your energy and expand your consciousness and learn how to move energy and transform energy. You know, if you can just do that, like, from one book or one article or one podcast or something like that, then, you know, that's more important than, you know, reading dozens of books about the theory. And, you know, just before we close, I'll just introduce an extension of, you know, how you can use visualization practice. And this technique works really well if you're feeling, you know, stressed out or feeling a bit of pain in your body. With some discomfort in your body, what you can actually do is focus on the feeling and give it a visual shape, as we were talking about before. You know, what does this pain feel like? What does this discomfort feel like? And then as you've visualized kind of that shape, it might be kind of throbbing red ball wherever it is in your body that's painful, or something like this, for example. And the aim is to simply begin to visualize this ball becoming smaller and smaller and leaving your body. And I've actually found a lot of research about this technique has found that it can help really decrease pain and sometimes even alleviate pain altogether when you simply give it a real shape, you know, what it looks like, and then picture it leaving your body. You know, in my personal experience, I haven't found that it always causes, you know, you to be able to rid of pain or uncomfortable experience, but it almost always does make it a bit easier, or, you know, for you to become conscious of what exactly it is that's bothering you in your body, and to kind of turn that down using this visualization. And the visualization in itself, you know, this is that something that in research studies is taught to, you know, people in general who don't work with chi energy. But as I mentioned, once you work with chi energy, these visualizations simply act as a guide for the energy. So, you know, I suppose when you're more aware of chi energy, then practicing a visualization like this would have a more of an effect on the pain actually leaving your body, and you actually, you know, healing aspects of yourself where there's this stress or uncomfort or pain. And because you're simply using visualization as an aid, you know, to direct the energy where to go. But, you know, this, it's good for, you know, basic pain management, but for more complicated type of issues, you know, it's always good to consult a doctor and then work with someone who has, you know, had many years of experience with energy dynamics if you're planning on working around, you know, this area of stress relief or discomfort in your body. You know, the applications are really limitless with energy dynamics and chi. Next Saturday, be sure to tune in. Robert Bruce will be appearing to talk about some of his experiences, and I'll especially be asking him some questions around the nature of, you know, enlightenment and spiritual awakening, because this is an area that is not too often talked about in terms of how becoming more aware of our energy can cause, you know, us to become more spiritually in tune, more at peace with ourselves, and to experience these deeper states. You know, how do those two relate? And I've been, you know, to Robert Bruce's workshop, and I've heard him talk briefly about this, but, you know, next Saturday we'll hopefully go into a bit more depth about that and his experience with awakening all of the chakras and how that fits in to a greater spiritual context. All right, so thank you for listening, and feel free to stop by my website at alexdefoe.com to check out the online Skype classes about further developing your energy body and learning more about energy dynamics. Okay, until next time.